Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Thursday, October 27th, 2016. We are going to be covering the book of Yahshua, that is Joshua, chapters 9 and 10 today. And we begin in chapter 9 with the Gibeonites, which are terrified of Israel, and they deceive Yahshua and the Israelites into letting them live. So this is an example of how frightened the Canaanites were in the land of Israel to be when they were conquering it, and they would go to great lengths to avoid contact and avoid total destruction. So let's get started with that. Chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings who were across the Jordan in the hills and the valleys, and all the coasts of the great sea to the front of Lebanon, the Hitti, that's the Hittites, the Emori, and the Amorites, the Canaani, that's the Canaanites, the Perizi, that's the Perizzites, the Kiwi, that's the Hivites, and the Yebusi, those are the inhabitants of the original Jerusalem, which was originally called Yebus. Those are the Jebusites. Heard of this. They gathered together to fight against Yahshua and against Israel with one accord. Okay, with one accord means virtually one mouth, one voice. They all spoke the same thing, let's go fight Israel. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon, 1391, heard of what Yahshua had done to Jericho, that's Jericho, and to Ai, they acted, in other words, they did craftily, 6195, and came with provisions, 6737, taking old sacks, 8242, upon their asses, 2534, and old wineskins, 4994, split and tied up, that's metzerarim, that's to mend by tying up. In other words, they sewed up the cracks because they were leaky. And old patched, 2921, sandals upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all their bread of their provisions, 6720, was dried up, 3001, and had become crumbs, 5350. Verse 6. They came to Yahshua to the camp at Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, we come from a land far off at this time. Make a treaty with us. 1285. And 1285 is a covenant or several similar meanings. Verse 7. And the men of Israel said to the Kiwi, those are the Hivites, Perhaps, 194, you dwell among us. How shall we make a treaty with you? And they said to Yahshua, we are your servants. Literally, we're your we will be your slaves. They were really scared and they were worried that the Israelites were going to do to them what they did to the other cities and kill every man, woman, and child and take all their stuff. Verse 8, we are your servants. And Yahshua said to them, who are you and from where do you come? Verse 9, and they said to him, from a land far off. Your servants have come because of the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, because we have heard the fame of him. That's 8089, fame. And all that he did in Mitzrayim. And all that he did to the two kings of the Emori, the Amorites, that were across the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants. Therefore, at this time, make a treaty with us. This bread we took hot, 2525, for provisions from our houses on the day we came forth to come to you. But now, look, it is dry and has become crumbs. In other words, fresh baked bread. And these wineskins which we filled were new, and behold, they are split. And these garments and our sandals became old from the very long journey. Verse 14, and the men took from their provisions and did not ask of the mouth of Yahweh. In other words, the took here means took their word because of looking at their provisions, which were totally false. That was a setup, but that was the intention. They wanted to fool these people into not killing them. Basically, they were absolutely just terrified, with good reason, because Yahweh had given Israel a commission to wipe all the inhabitants of the land off the face of the earth. I mean, if they were anything, they were not stupid. They just were Canaanites. Ah, hot coffee. Verse 15. And Yahshua made peace with them and made a treaty with them for their lives, 2421. And the rulers, 5387, that's as one lifted up, of the congregation swore to them, 7650. And it was at the end of 3 days after they had made a treaty with them that they heard they were from nearby, 7138, and they dwelled among them, 7130. And the children of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Their cities were Gibeon, 1391, and Kephira, 3716, and Be'eroth, 881, and Kiriath Yearim, 7157. And the children of Israel did not smite them, because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by Yahweh Elohim of Israel. That was a binding oath, folks. And all the congregation grumbled, 3885, against the rulers. They were wanting to kill them. They wanted to kill these people in those cities. Verse 19, but all the rulers said to the congregation, we have sworn to them by Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live, so that no wrath be upon us, you know, for violating an oath sworn to Yahweh, because of the oath, 7651, which we swore to them. They were stuck. They swore an oath by Yahweh, and that was the end of that. Verse 21, and the ruler said to them, let them live, but let them become hewers to 404 of wood, and drawers, 7579, of water to all the congregation, as the rulers had promised them. 1696, that promised is the spoken the word to them. So they were going to be servants. Verse 22, and Yahshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, for what reason, that's Ma, 4100, have you deceived, 7411, that's Ramah, Ma Ramah, is what he said. Have you deceived us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us? Now, therefore, you are cursed. 779. None from you shall be cut off from being slaves. 5650. Hewers of wood and jars of water for the house of my Elohim. Verse 24. You can reference the book of Jasher, Yashar, Book of the Upright. Chapter 88, verse 53. And they answered Yahshua and said, because it was certainly told to your servants that Yahweh your Elohim commanded his servant Moshe to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were greatly afraid for our lives from your presence and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in your hand. As it seems good and right to do to us, do. In other words, it's better for us to be living slaves than dead people. True. You got to give them that. They had that figured out. And so he did to them and rescued them from the hand of the children of Israel, so that they did not slay them. And Yahshua made them that day hewers of wood and jars of water for the congregation and for the altar of Yahweh, even to this day, in the place which he would choose, which eventually would be Jerusalem. The Gibeonites used deception here to save their lives and are not destroyed as Yahweh commanded. The cursed seed people have continued to deceive us to this very day, but will eventually be destroyed by Yahweh in his day of wrath. Now, only Israel is going to be redeemed, but the people which are not outright enemies of Israel will be saved. And they will be as these people here. They will be hewers of wood and drawers of water. They will be servants. They will not be made Israel. They're not equal. Only Israel is redeemed. Only Israel is the chosen people. We're not talking about the Jews, we're talking about real Israel, the Caucasian folks, that worship Yahweh and call upon his name We've yet to see what Yahweh is going to do with the Judeo-Christians. It doesn't look good for them. They truly believe that they are worshiping the proper way. Okay? We don't worship that way. We don't go through that rigmarole that they go through on the day of the sun god. And we don't call on Jesus. We call on Yahshua, which is his real name, not the false translation. So we'll see about that. But meanwhile, we try to get the fence sitters of Israel, our white brethren and sisters, to jump off the fence on the side of Yahweh. We particularly are concerned by white nationalists who are Jew savvy. They understand what the Jews have done and that they are not us. And I always say to them this very simple fact, that the ultimate white nation is going to be the kingdom of Yahweh, because only true Israel will be running things, okay, under the direction of Yahshua the Messiah, not the Jews. Yahshua was not a Jew, nor was he king of the Jews. He was an Israelite, yet he was part of the Godhead completely, and he was king of Israel, the Israelites, who are not the hook-nosed, swarthy Jews in the Mideast and in New York and in Los Angeles and Hollywood. We are the Caucasian people, the white Western European people. And we want an all-white nation too, okay? And that's going to come about when Yahshua returns with flaming fire. He's not going to be doing a wimpy little bake sale. And, oh, I love everybody, because he doesn't love everybody. That's a lie of the Judeo-Christian churches. Please don't confuse us with the Judeo-Christian churches and their false Jewish Jesus. That's not the truth. Their stuff is way off, and it's very hard to convince them. They are thoroughly indoctrinated and programmed, and it's very hard to reach them. But we try, and occasionally we wake some of them up. And brothers and sisters of the white nationalist persuasion, we want you with us, because your ultimate dream is going to come true when Yahshua returns. But you won't be part of it unless you wake up fully and understand who he is and why he came and what he did. That's very, very important. And we don't want to see you lumped in with the goat people, with those that don't worship Yahweh. He is not a Jewish God. He is the God of Israel, which is not the Jews. So, we love you, brother and sisters. We do. And we want you with us. Now we're going to get into chapter 10. And this is the defeat of the Amorites. And we'll get into verse 1 here. And verse 1, you can reference the book of Yashar, the book of the upright, Jasher, chapter 88, verse 55. It came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, 139, king of Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem, had heard how Yahshua had captured, 39:30, Ai, and devoted it, 2763, to destruction, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so had he done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. In other words, they were among them as servants. Verse 2. They were greatly frightened because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than I. A-Y. And all the men of it were mighty, 1368. All this is true. But they were afraid of Israel because of Yahweh. They had the good sense to see the writing on the wall, so to speak. These aren't just men. They've got the divine being with them, supporting them and smiting cities and knocking down walls and stopping rivers, and we have no chance. We're toast unless we make peace. So they did. They were smart there. And they were a big, mighty city. Verse 3. So Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, 1944, king of Hebron, 2275, that would be Hebron, in your English King James, and to Piram, 6502, king of Yarmuth, 3412, that would be Jarmuth in your English, and to Japhia, 3309, king of Lachish, 3923, and to Debir, 1688, king of Eglon, 5700, saying, come up to me and help smite Gibeon, because it has made peace with Yahshua and the children of Israel. He was going to wreak punishment on them. He considered them traitors for covering their own buttocks and not being slain. So the five kings of the Amori, that's the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and encamped, 2583, against Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Yahshua to the camp at Gilgal, saying, do not let drop, 7503, your hand from your servants, in other words, your hand of protection from us. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, because all the kings of the Amori that dwell in the mountains are gathered against us. Verse 7. So Yahshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, almighty men of valor, 2428. Verse 8, and Yahweh said to Yahshua, do not fear them, because I have given them into your hand. No man from them shall stand before you. Verse 9. So Yahshua came to them suddenly, 6597, coming up from Gilgal all night. Verse 10. And Yahweh confused them, 2000 in your Hebrew concordance, before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. and chased, 7291, chased them along the way that ascends to Beth Coron, 1032, and smote them to Azekah, 5825, and to Makeda, 4719. And it came to pass, as they fled, 5127, from before Israel, and were in the descent, 4174, to Beth Coron, that Yahweh cast down great stones at 68, and here it is as hailstones from the sky upon them unto Azekah, and they died. Great big giant hailstones, jagged chunks of ice. More died from the hail, 1259, stones, 68, than from the children of Israel slaying with the sword. So that confirms, the 1259 confirms that they were hailstones. Pardon me for just a second here. I get a little frog in the throat occasionally. I get a hit of coffee here. Oh, yes. Verse 12. Then Yahshua said to Yahweh, in the day when Yahweh gave up the Emori before the children of Israel, and he said, in the sight of all Israel, sun, 8121, that's the sun in the sky, stand still, 1826, upon Gibeon, and you, moon, 3394, in the valley of Ayalon, 357, he cried that out. And the sun stood still, and the moon stood, 5975, until the people had avenged, 5358, taken vengeance upon, had avenged themselves upon their hated enemies. Is this not written in the book of Yashar 3477? That is the book of the upright, and that is what they call Jasher. Okay? The book of Jasher, well, I quote from that a lot. It's an accurate depiction of what happened. Now, they removed it from the Bible because it has so much stuff in it that goes against churchianity's agenda. Now, verse 13, you can reference the book of Jasher, chapter 88, verse 63. 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 18. And in your Apocrypha, the book of Sirach, chapter 46, verses 4 through 6. And is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood in the middle of the sky and did not make haste to go down about an entire day. 8549. Verse 14. There was no day as that before or after that Yahweh listened to the voice of a man, because Yahweh fought for Israel. In other words, Yahweh caused a cosmic event. He stopped the rotation or slowed down the rotation of the earth for a whole day so they could continue to fight and smite these Amorites. What is beyond the power of Yahweh? Nothing is beyond his power. Verse 15, and Yahshua returned, and all Israel with him, to the camp at Gilgal. Verse 16, but those five kings fled and hid in a cave, 4631, at Makeda. And it was told to Yahshua, saying, the five kings are found hiding in a cave at Makeda. Verse 18, and Yahshua said, roll, 1556, great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and appoint, 6485, men upon it to guard them. And do not delay, but pursue after your hated enemies and attack the rear of them. Do not allow them to enter their cities, because Yahweh your Elohim has given them into your hand. So the people of Israel were going to pursue and destroy five armies. Verse 20, and it came to pass when Yahshua and the children of Israel completed slaying them with a very great slaughter until they were consumed, 8552, that the remaining survivors from them entered into fortified cities, 4013. They wiped out almost all of them. Only a few made it back to their towns and closed the gates, because they were whipped and afraid. Verse 21. And all the people returned to the camp to Yahshua at Makeda in peace. None moved, 2782, his tongue, 3956, against any man of the children of Israel. In other words, they didn't have a bad word to say. Verse 22, then Yahshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring forth those five kings from the cave. Because they were trapped in there with no food, no water, no nothing. They just were running for their lives. And now they were trapped in that cave with rocks upon the entrance. So there was nowhere for them to go. They were stuck. So Yahshua said, bring them out. Verse 23. They did so and brought forth those five kings to him from the cave. The king of Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought forth those kings to Yahshua, that Yahshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the commanders, 7101, of the men of war who went with him, draw near, that's 7126, put your feet upon the necks, 6677, of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet upon the necks of them. They were bowed down and prostrated, so they put their feet on their necks and ground their faces into the ground. Verse 25, and Yahshua said to them, Do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. For thus shall Yahweh do to all your hated enemies against whom you fight. Verse 26. And afterward Yahshua smote them and slew them and hanged them, 8515, on five trees, 6086. Let's stop right here. 6086 means trees or a pole or wood. Anything made of wood. Remember what they call a gallows pole? They hung criminals on a gallows pole and they were displayed. They did that in England. They hang them from the gallows pole. Well, that's what they're speaking of here. Continuing on. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. That's when the day was ending. And the rule in Israel was you didn't leave anybody hanging overnight into the new day. Okay, the day ended at evening and the new day began at full dark of the evening. And it came to pass, note this, at the time of the going down of the sun, when it was on the horizon, ready to go to full dark, Yahshua commanded to bring them forth from upon the trees and cast them into the cave in which they had hidden and laid great stones in the cave's mouth until this selfsame day. In other words, until today that this book was written. And verse 27, you can reference the book of Yashar, chapter 89, verse 28. Now, verse 28 of chapter 10. At that day that Yahshua captured Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword and the king of it, he devoted, 2763, he devoted it to destruction and all the persons that were in it. Persons 5315, Nephesh, all the living beings. He let none survive, 8,300, and he did to the king of Makeda as he did to the king of Jericho. They killed all the men, the women, and the children, because they were Amorites and they were enemies of Israel. Verse 29, then Yahshua passed from Makeda, and all Israel with him to Libna, 3841, and fought against Libna. In verses 29 and 30, you can reference the book of Yashar, chapter 89, verse 31. Verse 30, and Yahweh gave it also, and the king of it, into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword and all the persons that were in it. He let none survive, as he did to the king of it, as he did to the king of Jericho. Now, if we would have continued to do this to all these cities, we would not have the problem today, because they were in obedience to Yahweh to kill all these people, lest they become thorns in our side or pricks in our eyes. But we didn't do it all. We did some of it, like you're hearing here. Verse 31. And Yahshua passed from Libna, and all Israel with him, to Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. Verse 32. And Yahweh gave Lachish into the hand of Israel, which captured it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the persons that were in it, as he had done to Libna. Verse 33, then Horam, 2036, king of Gezer, 1507, came up to help Lachish, and Yeshua smote him and his people until there was none left surviving. They were going to come to the rescue of their fellow Amorites, and they got themselves killed as well. Verse 34, and from Lachish, Yeshua passed to Eglon, and all Israel with them, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And verse 34, you can reference the book of Yashar, chapter 89, verse 34. Verse 35 here. And they captured it that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the persons in it he devoted to destruction that day, as all that he did to Lachish. And they were going city to city just slaughtering these people, because they were commanded to do so by Yahweh. Verse 36. And Yeshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, to Hebron, and they fought against it. Verse 37, and they captured it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king of it and all the towns of it, that's all the suburbs, and all the persons that were in it, he let none survive, as all that he did to Eglon, but he devoted it to destruction and all the persons that were in it, town to town to town. He was going to town. Ooh, bad joke. Verse 38. And Yeshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he captured it, and the king of it, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and devoted to destruction all the persons that were in it. He let none survive, as he did with Hebron, so he did to Debir and to the king of it, as he had done to Libna and to her king. He was not fooling around. He was in total obedience to Yahweh, finishing off these ites, the Amorites. Verse 40. So Yeshua smote all the country, the mountains, the Negev, that's the southern desert region, the lowlands, that's the Shephelah, that's 8219, and the slope, 794. And all their kings, he left none survive, but devoted to destruction all that breathed. 5397, as Yahweh Elohim of Israel commanded. 6680. This was a command. This whole chapter was a command. So, verse 41. And Yeshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, 6947, to Azah, 5804. Now, that is known as Gaza today, the Gaza Strip. That was originally Israel. So, these Palestinians are not native to that land. Neither are the Jews that are trying to drive them out, claiming that they are Israel. They are not. That's all a false war over there by imposters. So they're all ites over there. They're Edomites, which are claiming to be Judah. The Jews are claiming to be Israelites, but they're not. They're Edomites and Khazars. And the Palestinians, which are all a bunch of mixed mutts. So let them fight over there. That's fine. Let them kill each other. That's a good thing. And Yeshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea to Azza, and all the land of Goshen, 1657, unto Gibeon. That was the land of Goshen that they had come from in Egypt. They retook that. That was all Israel territory. That's what we've lost, folks, by our disobedience. We'll get it back. And it will blossom once again as it did when we were there. Verse 42. And all the kings and their land Yeshua captured at one time, because Yahweh Elohim of Israel fought for Israel. Verse 43, and Yeshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Now, verse 43, you can reference the book of Yashar, chapter 89, verse 38. 2763 devoted has things in context. You can devote things to destruction, as here. You can devote things to use in the temple. They would be gifts for Yahweh. All gold and silver and stuff like that, things will be devoted to temple use. That would be done in other chapters. It's not all destruction when you use that word. You see a pattern of behavior here, a pattern of righteousness that Yeshua is following. Now, if we as the people of Israel had continued in this vein of righteousness, doing as Yahweh had commanded, and had completed our commission in that land, we would not have the problem with the people that are plaguing us today, those that call themselves modern-day Jewry, because they are descendants of the enemies and the Edomites and such that mixed with the Khazars from up in Russia, who were a Turkic people, and they had absolutely no ties whatsoever to the Holy Land at all, but they adopted Judaism to prevent the Cossacks from coming in at the order of the Tsar and slaughtering them, because they were throwing little babies into wolf pits and stuff for entertainment, and they didn't want to become Christians because that would anger the Muslims. And they didn't want to anger the Christians by becoming Muslims. So they, being a mixed people anyway, adopted Talmudic Judaism. They were not from the area, but they adopted it as a religion and became what they call today Jews, which is a manufactured word. It's co-opted from Judah and Judea. They just shortened it to Jews. Well, they are not us. They are not Israel. True, pure-blooded, seed line of Jacob. They are not of that seed line, our seed line. They are a mixed lot. That was the last of my coffee. It's getting cold. We are contending with them today, and they are on the high side of things. They have the high hand right now. They have risen above us by their usurious business practices, etc., etc., etc. And they are plaguing us. We were warned that this would happen. The stranger among you will rise very high. Well, what do we have as a president right now in 2016? We have a stranger who is a puppet of these mixed breed mongrels that call themselves Jews. Most of our senators and congressmen are paid puppets. They dance to their tune. The other ones are only in it for the money, and they won't oppose what's going on as long as they get all that money and power. That's the agenda. And they are following it in lockstep. They are all the enemies of true Israel. I've got bad news for them. This is not going to sit well. And it will make me an enemy of the state because I teach it. If you will read 2 Thessalonians, and I quote this all the time, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it tells what Yeshua the Messiah will do when he returns. And at that day, not only will the government of this country fall, but every government on the face of this planet will fall simultaneously upon his return. Because he's not coming alone. He's coming with his mighty messengers. Those are what they call angels. The little things with wings and all that stuff. No, these are killers. They're not warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely little cherubs and stuff like that. These are angels of death and war. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? Fire and brimstone. Flaming sword. They return with a flaming fire. Does that sound warm and fuzzy? Well, warm maybe, extremely warm, but not fuzzy. It'll burn the fuzz right off of you. He's coming back to take vengeance on those that don't know Elohim, the divine being, Yahweh, our divine being, Israel, our divine being. And he will establish physically on this planet the kingdom of Yahweh in completeness, not just partially as it is now. There's a part of the kingdom here, and we are citizens of it if we are true Israel. All of what is going on right now, all this evil will end. First, we will have to go through the tribulation. We are in the time of Jacob's trouble right now. This is not the tribulation. It's going to be much, much worse. And those of us that do not lose faith will be in the kingdom. Those of us that turn away from Yahweh and lose faith will not. That's a harsh fact, folks. And that's what the purpose of this show is, to teach this word and to give you strength and to plead with you to not lose faith, to stay true regardless of rumors that you hear, regardless of how uncomfortable your situation may become. The life that we have in these flesh temples today is only a testing ground. It is a test. The bodies that we will inhabit afterward, if we are still in these bodies will be transformed by the power of Yahweh, and nothing is beyond His power, into eternal, immortal, perfect bodies. We will not have all the infirmities that we suffer from. He can raise the dead from crumbled dust of corpses, people that have been cremated. All those components are still in existence, and He can reconstitute them. This is the being that created the entire universe, and nothing is beyond His power. It's very hard for us as earthly physical men to comprehend a being of this power. And we have tried to downsize Him over time to fit our concept as men. And we really cannot do that. It is foolishness. We are not capable of comprehending all His wonders. I know we think a lot of ourselves. We have ego. But we cannot downsize Yahweh to meet our small man's comprehension. Our brains can't handle it. We're not that expansive as He is. He is not one of us. We are not Him. We are little sparks of Him. We have the breath of life that He gave into us. In other words, the soul. Only Adam received that. Those who can blush, blood in the face, ruddy complexion. Now, ruddy means that the blood shows through our white skin and we are sort of pink. We are pink. It doesn't mean red. We are not red men. We are white men with a pink tinge to us. That's what ruddy means. David was ruddy and fair. Fair complected, very white skin. You see some very beautiful white women that are just rosy hued. They're just gorgeous. Well, that's what that describes. We're not white like a piece of typing paper. Our skin is, white is just sort of a substitute. There's no real description of our true color. But we are not dark and swarthy. We are not red. We are not brown. We are not black. We're sort of rosy-hued, pink-cheeked people. You can tell a white man, okay, that white is what they've designated for Caucasian, the Caucasian race, okay? We do the best we can. We are not to mix. Well, I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. It is time for me to play the outro music, and I'll talk to you tomorrow when we cover chapter 11 and 12 of Joshua. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as
cross of Jesus.